Hello, everyone. It's Corinne. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. And we are going to just take a moment to turn within, finding our willingness, and giving our willingness to the Holy Spirit, feeling open to receive. And willing to give, willing to share that love in our hearts and that light in our minds that's within all of us. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. We place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And with that love in your heart and that light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. So picking up where we left off last week, we're actually mid-section here. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 253. We'll be starting at the top of this page. It begins, you complain that this course is not sufficiently specific. So again, Sparkle Edition, page 253. In the original edition, that would correspond to Chapter 10, Paragraph 80. Chapter 10, Paragraph 80. It's 212, page 212 in the hard copy of the book. Another way of finding it is Chapter 10, Part 8, Paragraph 80. It begins with the same sentence. And last but not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, we're on page 212. It is on that page, paragraph number 5. It also begins, you may complain that this course is not sufficiently specific. So that's where we're at. Does anybody need me to read that again? I usually give the page references before we start recording, and I didn't do that this time. But it sounds like we're good. Okay. Here we go. You complain that this course is not sufficiently specific for you to understand it and use it. Yet it has been very specific, and you have not done what it specifically advocates. This is not a course in the play of ideas, but in their practical application. Nothing could be more specific than to be told very clearly that if you ask, you will receive. The Holy Spirit will answer every specific problem as long as you believe that problems are specific. His answer is both many and one as long as you believe that the one is many. Realize that you are afraid of his specificity for fear of what you think it will demand of you. Yet only by asking will you learn that nothing that is of God demands anything of you. God gives, he does not take. Excuse me. So let's pause there and see if anything has come up for anyone with this first paragraph. Any thoughts or insights, any sentences that stand out to you? I'll share for me that, excuse me, I feel like the ego doesn't want me to talk. I haven't had a frog in my throat all day, and suddenly here we go. So what stands out to me about this paragraph is the latter part where it starts talking about how we're afraid of the Holy Spirit's specificity, that we're essentially afraid that we're going to be asked to sacrifice something. This goes back to the Course's teaching, you know, that that's something that we are afraid of. We're afraid that God, you know, demands. And again, that's the God that the ego is making. The ego projects that type of thing on this idea of God. And what comes up for me with this is that we have to look at our beliefs in sacrifice. And I have an example as to what I mean. So in the Course, there's a lesson that says something to the effect of, all things are lessons God would have me learn. And I misinterpreted that for years, because what I thought was that, you know, when something difficult would come up, when I'd be having a lot of anxiety or there'd be a challenging situation, I thought, okay, this is God testing me, or this is God throwing this in, you know, my path because it's a lesson. It's you know, something that I need to go through. So I took that lesson of the Course and sort of misconstrued it in terms of, you know, all things are lessons God would have me learn. I interpreted that as God's giving me these lessons. God's the one doing it. And so that was something that I had to look at with the Holy Spirit, because what is that but a reflection that I believe, again, God is out to get me. God is out to, you know, cause some sort of pain, to demand something of me. And this is very clearly saying that God demands nothing of us. God only gives. He does not take. It's the ego that throws these situations in our way, you know, to try to keep us focused on the ego and keep us focused on these bodies. And so that was just kind of a profound realization for me once I started looking at that with the Holy Spirit, that in fact I did carry this, you know, belief of fear of sacrifice in my mind, and I just had to start looking at that with the Holy Spirit to allow it to be undone.
Thank you, Corinne. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to share. And I really like this paragraph, too, how it's just saying that this Course is very practical. It's not just a play of ideas. The Holy Spirit, as long as we believe there are specific problems, which really there aren't specific problems, that's what we'll all come to realize if, you know, we're not already getting glimpses of that, that all problems are just simply our belief in the separation. Our belief that we're separate from God is our one problem. And it seems to take many different forms. But that's just that one problem. Anybody else have anything come up?
I think the part about, you know, how practical it is, and then everything you just said basically goes along with that. But it's so simple that it's complicated. Like, it's not complicated. It's super simple. It's like I was thinking what Carol said at the beginning when she mentioned the news at the beginning of the week, and I had kind of forgot about it, but I was really thrown by that. Like, my ego took total control over the beginning of the week, and I was, you know, reactive, and I was paying way more attention to the news. I hardly ever do that. And it was just crazy. And then it wasn't until this weekend, I would say, that I finally said, you know what, I'm just going to go back to the thought system of peace. Like, I can't do this. And in retrospect, I'm like, how simple, you know, it would have been just to do that in the beginning of the week and try to stay centered in that place. Mm-hmm. But it just like hijacked me. It was like crazy.
Yeah, that's what the world is set up to do. That's, you know, I absolutely don't want to sound callous at all, but like, how long has crazy stuff like this been happening? It's been happening since the beginning of time, and we just now know about it because of, you know, news and the internet and how fast information travels, but this has always been happening. I totally resonate with what you're saying about getting hijacked by it. And this is where, for those of us who might be listening to the recording right now, we had a conversation before we started recording the call, so that's what we're referencing right now. But Carol, you were sharing about, you know, having to watch the news because of the person, you know, that you are caring for right now, it made me think about, and this ties into, Paul, what you were saying, too, about not being reactive after the earthquake that you experienced. A lot of my anxiety is always focused around fears of sickness, essentially, you know, being afraid of my own body, being afraid that my body can hurt me. And it was just so interesting for me to see, once I, you know, got wind, and you can't now go even on Facebook without getting the news, because now you see like trending topics on the right hand side.
Right.
So for a while, what was trending was about the Ebola outbreak. The first moment that I saw that, I had that initial, like, you know, that initial ego hook come up. But immediately I was just willing to look at that with the Holy Spirit. And it was so interesting to me to see how I didn't go down that path that I usually would have in the past. And it instead just felt like, oh, there it is. It's just another ego hook again. It's just another thing, another opportunity for me to take what I think I'm seeing to the Holy Spirit. And I felt actually an amazing sense of calm. So, we can't get away from, I think, the messages of the news now pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah.
And I'm finishing up a 6-month A Course in Miracles program right now. And this week, it's all about the advanced teacher of God is the Sukriva topic. And there's something in the course that says, the advanced teacher of God, basically I'm paraphrasing, but it's like takes 100% responsibility for everything that seems to occur like in the world that, you know, that we create. And so I've really been looking at that, like anytime I'm feeling any kind of not peace, like the opposite of peace, it's like, wait a minute, I'm creating this and I don't have to do this. I can choose something else. And it's recognizing that I'm creating the feeling of, you know, being tense or whatever it is, and going, no, this isn't of God. I don't have to go here. Like, I don't have to stay here. It's okay to recognize that I'm here, but I don't have to stay in the junk.
Right.
Because a lot of it is like, there's still a part of our mind that likes the drama, that likes the, you know, the unrest or whatever. And it's like, no, I don't want this anymore. And it's staying committed to that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. And it's building that muscle, because I think what happened for me, and as you were talking, I was remembering, I think at the beginning, I usually do the workbook lessons every day just to keep that muscle going, you know, like to get stronger. And I don't think I was at the beginning of the week. Like I was having sleep issues and I was waking up late, and kind of like what Paula was sharing last week, like it, when I'm in that place, it's so easy for the ego just to start taking me in directions. And there is that part that likes the drama, like you were saying, Deidre, and I think that's the part that was getting a lot of the energy.
Yeah.
But when we do the lessons and stuff, like it is super practical. It's like, and it builds that muscle and it makes it easier on us.
Yeah,
it's amazing how once we make one little choice for the ego, we don't see that slippery slope. It's like a water slide. We're just whoop. We
totally.
Go right back.
Totally.
Totally.
It's quick and you don't even know what happened. And suddenly you find yourself totally not peaceful and yeah, in a totally different place. So thank goodness we can choose again.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing, though. I'm listening. This is Brian. And you guys are, you're incredibly strong. Do you realize that? Like, when I listen to you, every story, every experience, you always come out with a positive. It's wonderful. That's amazing. Congratulations.
That's,
I mean, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's really I'm really grateful that you shared that, Brian. It's really nice, I think, for all of us to have that reflected back to us. And I'll just respond that for me, that's what learning to rely on the Holy Spirit does for me. With what you just said, that strength is not, for me, it doesn't feel like it comes from Corinne. It instead comes from, you know, my willingness more to kind of get out of the way, if that makes sense. I don't know. Does anybody else want to add something or respond?
I agree.
Totally. That's beautiful. I mean, it's you start to learn that, you know, the truth of what you are is so much more beyond, you know, what you can see and feel with the body. So it's, you're trusting your higher self, the spirit of you, and the spirit of you is indestructible. It's eternal, so nothing can touch it, and that's where the strength comes from.
I'm really, I thank you so much, Brian, again, for saying that, too, because I think it's so important to distinguish that we're also, you know, being course students, not just being like Pollyanna, like, oh, let's see the bright side, you know, like something terrible is happening, but, oh, I'm going to look for the positive. Like, it's not about that at all, because, I mean, maybe there's some benefit to that perspective. I have no idea. But for me, it's just something much deeper. It really, the course for me reframes everything. And it's saying, that's what the course is teaching, that everything, no matter what it is an opportunity for us to choose again and to wake up, to learn, to, I don't want to say to learn and grow, but more so to remember what we've already forgotten, you know, what we chose to forget. And so that perspective of everything being, you know, like going back to that course lesson, all things are lessons God would have me learn. A lesson is a miracle. It says that somewhere. I wrote it down. Where did I put it so I could read the whole quote to you? A lesson is a miracle. That shift in perception, you know, if you take, let's say my old perspective of, you know, something bad is happening and this is a lesson coming from God. No, the lesson is that we can choose to listen to the Holy Spirit and have that shift in perception rather than those circumstances seemingly being the teacher. The miracle is that the lesson is the miracle of being able to know that we can have a shift in perception at any moment, at any time, and actually have that experience of love coming through us. I hope that was clear.
That's amazing. Thank
Very
you.
Very clear.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was so struck by that when I read that a lesson is a miracle. It really hit home for me. So let's read another paragraph. I think we've only read one. You are refusing to ask because you believe that asking is taking, and you do not perceive it as sharing. The Holy Spirit will give you only what is yours and will take nothing in return. For what is yours is everything, and you share it with God. This is its reality. Would the Holy Spirit, who wills only to restore, be capable of misinterpreting the question you must ask to learn his answer? I'm going to keep reading. You have heard the answer, but you have misunderstood the question. You have believed that to ask for guidance of the Holy Spirit is to ask for deprivation. Little children of God, you do not understand your Father. You believe in a world that takes because you believe that you can get by taking. And by that perception, you have lost sight of the real world. You are afraid of the world as you see it, but the real world is still yours for the asking. Do not deny it to yourself, for it can only free you. Nothing of God will enslave his Son, whom he created free and whose freedom is protected by his being. I take a lot of comfort in being called a little child in the course. It's very humbling for me that is, you know, the course is saying that we are just little children who are just totally, totally misunderstanding love, you know, what it is that we truly are.
You know, it was so cool today. My husband and I went to church together, and, you know, it's really great because we can walk there and back, and that's part of my treat, you know, my meditation. But the priest was talking today about, he was going through a scenario, and he was saying, you know, a second grader, and, you know, who do you say you are? Well, I'm a second grader, I'm, you know, 7 years old, I'm this and that, you know, and he went through the whole scenario with that. And then at the end he said, and I'm also a child of God. And then he, you know, did like a middle school and then a high school. And then, you know, he went through this whole stages of life thing. And he talked about, you know, when people ask, you know, when you identify yourself as a child of God first, because that's who you are. Having that connection, I was like, wow, this is super cool.
Mm.
This is like just what I needed to hear, because I wasn't feeling that. And it was just the way it was presented to me was a lot of course stuff with, you know, you're not that. You're not that, you're not that, you're a child of God.
That's awesome.
Like, you're not the body. You're
I
not this label, you're a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's pretty much what the course is all about.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're reading that, and I'm reminded of how cool that experience was as I was sitting there, and how, you know, we attach ourselves to all these labels. And, you know, I found it even when, you know, he first started, he said, who do you say that you are? And, you know, it's like, well, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a this, I'm a that, and didn't know where he was going with it. But it was very comforting to hear that and be reminded of that.
That's so awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that. Next time somebody asks me who I am, I want to, the words that came to mind for me is, I am love.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
so
it's,
cool.
It's like the more you read the course too, and the more you apply it, the more you understand that on a really deep level. It's like one thing to think it or say it, but it's, for me at least, it's like I've noticed, especially in the last few months or last year, that it's something that it's more like a deeper knowing, deeper understanding that that's the truth, like that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
If that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Total sense. And it's so, you know, it really builds our trust in having those deeper experiences and feeling like, you know, we're more on having, you know, our feet in the Holy Spirit's camp, so to speak. You know, we're on more stable ground because our heart is identified with that knowing, with those experiences that we have. So,
yeah totally.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, it's easier to spend less time in the ego because you can catch it quicker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. A good point. Okay, next paragraph. Blessed are you who will ask the truth of God without fear, for only thus can you learn that his answer is the release from fear. Beautiful child of God, you are asking only for what I promised you. Do you believe I would deceive you? The kingdom of heaven is within you. Believe that the truth is in me, for I know that it is in you. God's sons have nothing which they do not share. Ask for truth of any son of God, and you have asked it of me. No one of us but has the answer in him to give to anyone who asks it of him. Ask anything of God's Son, and his Father will answer you. For Christ is not deceived in his Father, and his Father is not deceived in him. And again, Christ being the Son of God. So that's all of us. We are the Christ all. What a nice chime.
Sorry.
That's okay. If that was a phone, that was a lovely ring.
It was a text message.
Ah, that's a really nice ring. When I hear bells like that, I immediately take it as like a opportunity to drop into the present. So let's see. So basically what this is saying is that because we all share that same, we all have that spark of light, even if it seems so deeply buried, we all have that true love of God within us, that as we look for that in any one of us, we come to know it for ourselves. And I feel like I've shared this experience so many times, but that time that I was talking to a family member on the phone and I was determined just to trust, even though I thought they were speaking foolishly and full of nonsense, I just was like, I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is in them, period. It doesn't mean they're going to say or do the right thing, but I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit is there. And the whole conversation shifted. Suddenly this person had a big aha moment, and there I was with like my jaw hanging on the ground because I was simply willing for the Holy Spirit. I was willing to allow the Holy Spirit in me to join with the Holy Spirit in this other person. And we were just both transformed in that moment. So that's what this is talking about, is that it says elsewhere in the Course, God lit the lamp in your brother for the both of you. So we're all going home together. Not one of us goes alone. And that sentence, I'll just highlight, where it says, ask for truth of any son of God, and you have asked it of me. That just makes me think, too, about, I mean, think of all the people that we come into contact with on a daily basis, even like when you're in traffic and that person cuts you off and, you know, you have that immediate reaction of, you know, them being a really bad driver. Everything is an opportunity. Again, all things are lessons God would have me learn. Every opportunity, everything that happens is an opportunity for us to allow a miracle to come forward. It's an opportunity for us to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. So we can ask truth of anyone we meet. I also like to, and I'll just say this and then we'll keep reading, there's a part in the Course that talks about how, you know, you think that you bump into somebody by chance, and it's talking about how there are no chance encounters, which is, again, a very comforting thought.
Yeah, I've been studying, just what you were saying about nobody, there's also one in the Course that says no one comes to you by accident. Mm-hmm. And so there's another teacher that I've come across recently, and they have seminars online that are really good. And it's basically teaching me to be thankful for the existence of the ego and the idea that we chose this opportunity to experience what that is, and everything that sort of makes us feel, you know, that sense of unrest, that sense of not being at peace, is actually a blessing, because it's whatever it is, whether it seems to be coming from another person or whatever it is, we know as Course students it's not. It's coming from, it's being reflected back to us, but also whatever that feeling is that we're feeling in the moment is being used as an opportunity for us to strengthen our awakening. Mm. So even the stuff that doesn't feel so good or great or whatever is actually helpful. Like, you can be grateful for that because you can use that to shift your perception
right,
with spirit, right? So
that's awesome. that I really resonate with that, Deidre, because you nominated me to share three things I was thankful for on Facebook. And if you remember, the first thing that I wrote was that I was thankful for all the challenges that I've experienced because they've been all opportunities to choose again. So I really resonate with what you just said.
Yeah, and also, like, just to go a little bit deeper with her, their teachings is that, you know, on a soul level, we make agreements with, you know, people while they're experiencing this physicality in bodies, right? So even if it's somebody that, like, really pisses us off or whatever, or does something that appears on the outside to be, like, really hurtful, that helps us in our process of awakening,
mm-hmm.
our higher self. And that's what it's about. And to look at it that way really shifted my whole perception of, like, everything.
What happens if you're not quite there?
That's okay. That's mm-hmm. completely okay. You have to be where you are. You have to be where you are, and it's you know, the willingness to be loving of yourself where you are.
I totally understand what you're saying, Deidre, and I think it sounds beautiful to the point where I'm like, wow, this is exciting and this is wonderful. However, this week I was experiencing some, you know, practicing my relationship with God, and one of the things I was led to do, it's not that I've never done it before, but I was led to do it again, was to see my siblings and my mom in particular in the light, like visualize them with light all around them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like Paul was saying, the beginning of the week was really pretty good for me with that. And then I started falling off. And today just seemed to be a difficult day with that. Like, I couldn't come to terms with making a connection with them,
mm-hmm.
making a physical connection with them. And, you know, I was getting a telephone call, and I thought, I can't do this right now.
Well, the thing I want to clarify, because I don't want to... It doesn't mean that if someone does something really hurtful that you're okay with it. It just means that you recognize that, hey, like in your mind, it doesn't mean that you have to be perfectly doing everything, because that's actually the Holy Spirit's job. What it means, though, is if something is really, really hurtful, and you're able to look at it in your mind and say, this person and I made an agreement on a soul level to have this kind of interaction for my awakening and whatever their awakening is, because we're not always on the same path. Do you understand what I mean by that? Like,
I totally understand. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I'm praying to shift my perception because I know it's my perception.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
my perception.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to own, I need to own it. And there's times, I mean, it seems fleeting, but there's times I totally own it. And then there's times there's no way I'm owning this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely not there 100% of the time. I mean, just because I'm sharing this doesn't mean that I'm perfect or that I've, you know, perfected the practice. But it's been really helpful in terms of looking at, because there are certain things, you know, that I've gotten from Spirit that it's actually okay and healthy to not be in the physical presence of certain other souls on this earthly plane, if you understand what I mean by that. Like,
I do.
It doesn't mean that we have to put ourselves in situations that are toxic or hurtful. It just means that that particular thing that we agreed to create together on a soul level with these other souls is actually, even though it feels hurtful, it's beneficial for our spiritual awakening, for our spiritual growth.
I very, very much appreciate you sharing that. That's, you know, when Brian shared earlier and said, wow, you know, you just, I forget the compliment, but it was a wonderful, wonderful compliment about, you know, the energy and the positiveness of it. I sat back and I was like, I can feel that beautiful energy. I could just feel it, and it was, it's so uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what I needed and need. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I'll just add, just this is really just to clarify for myself, Deidre, you know, with what you were just describing, for me, if I were to put it in my own words, it's like, you know, we made an agreement with whoever it is to play out these roles and, you know, perhaps be having this conflict right now. And when we turn, like you were saying, Carol, owning our perception, you know, this is coming from me, so to speak, with how the Course, you know, talks about this is all a big projection. As we just own it, take responsibility for it, and give it to the Holy Spirit and asking to see it differently, the purpose of that situation changes from a purpose used to separate by the ego to, you know, let that conflict be a means of deepening the separation. The whole purpose of the situation changes when we give it to the Holy Spirit, because then the purpose is about waking up. The purpose becomes divine. It becomes an opportunity, you know, to again, remember who it is that we really are. So I just wanted to say that out loud because I was sort of clarifying that in my head. So thank you, Deidre. That was really helpful.
Yeah, what you just said there was really clear, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. let's read the next paragraph. I have a feeling it's still going to be very relevant to our discussion here. Do not, then, be deceived in your brother and see only his loving thoughts as his reality. For by denying that his mind is split, you will heal yours. Accept him as the Father accepts him, and heal him unto Christ, for Christ is his healing and yours. Christ is the Son of God, who is in no way separate from his Father, whose every thought is as loving as the thought of his Father, by which he was created. Be not deceived in God's Son, for thereby you must be deceived in yourself. And being deceived in yourself, you are deceived in your Father, in whom no deceit is possible. So this to me is still relevant to what we were just talking about, because what Deidre, when you were saying, you know, you have to be where you're at, that's what comes up for me with this paragraph. When it says, do not then be deceived in your brother and see only his loving thoughts as his reality, for by denying that his mind is split, you will heal yours. If we were to try to only see his loving thoughts as his reality, we're going to burn out. We can't do that. This is saying see only his loving thoughts through the Holy Spirit. So again, it's that step before choosing love. It's choosing for the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit choose for love for us. And in being where we're at, to use your example, Carol, if you're just not there, like, you know, you said some days you're willing to own your perception and other days it's like, hell no, I'm not going there. The days when we're like, hell no, I'm not going there, we can say, and Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you. I'm not willing to go there, and I'm willing to look at this with you. That's still that tiny mustard seed of willingness that that's all the Course is asking of us, is just to have that willingness. So we have to be where we're at. Being Pollyanna would be to, you know, force it, to be like, oh, you know, I'm not there today, but all right, I'll choose love. you know, that's trying to do it on our own small will. I don't mean the will of God. I mean, you know, our individual ego will. It's about choosing for the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit choose for love for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything come up so far, or any questions or anything to add? So as we choose, as we become willing to see the love in our brothers, we learn that our mind is healed as well. We learn that there is no split, that there is only love. Next paragraph. In the real world, there is no sickness, for there is no separation and no division. Only loving thoughts are recognized, and because no one is without your help, the help of God goes with you everywhere. As you become willing to accept this help by asking for it, you will give it because you want it. Nothing will be beyond your healing power because nothing will be denied your simple request. What problems will not disappear in the presence of God's answer? Ask, then, to learn of the reality of your brother, because this is what you will perceive in him, and you will see your beauty reflected in him. That, to me, is the holy relationship. The Course talks about, you know, special relationships of the ego versus the holy relationship, and the holy relationship is when the words flew away from me. I feel like my ego doesn't want me to to say this. I'm just going to read this last sentence again out loud. Ask then to learn of the reality of your brother, because this is what you will perceive in him, and you will see your beauty reflected in him. So it's that reflection. It's the Holy Spirit in your mind and allowing that Holy Spirit to join with the Holy Spirit in the mind of another. That's when a relationship becomes holy. It's now used for purposes of waking up rather than for means of separating.
Yeah, and that to me was the main key of this other lady's video, was just that's the shift in perception. When you can see the value in something helping you to awaken, it doesn't have any egoic power left anymore.
Right, right.
And that's the shift. It doesn't mean that anything outwardly changes. It's just that you recognize that whatever the relationship or the connection is with whatever the situation is, everything can be used as, you know, a tool for our awakening or a tool for our allegiance with the ego.
yeah.
So.
Yep, beautiful. Next paragraph. Do not accept your brother's variable perception of himself, for his split mind is yours, and you will not accept your healing without his. For you share the real world as you share heaven, and his healing is yours. To love yourself is to heal yourself, and you cannot perceive part of you as sick and achieve your own goal. Brother, we heal together as we live together and love together. Be not deceived in God's Son, for he is one with himself and one with his Father. Love him who is beloved of his Father, and you will learn of the Father's love for you. And again, we love him who is beloved of his Father by turning to the Holy Spirit. And being in that love. And this to me, this paragraph is just also speaking to just, you know, the interconnectedness of all of us, that if we're seeing, it goes back to me that phrase, you spot it, you got it. So if we're seeing somebody else behaving erratically, you know, how it says, like, your brother's variable perception of himself, if we're seeing that conflict out there, it's because it's in our own mind. And that's where the Course is always, it always comes back to us. It always comes back to you. So you spot it, you see that conflict out there. You see, even I'm thinking of my own example of like seeing a little trending topic of Ebola, you know, on Facebook. You spot it, not that you got it in a literal sense in this, but the fear thought is what you have. And that's that fear thought that then you need to take to the Holy Spirit. It's not about, you know, rationalizing your way out of it. Like, oh, you know, I'm safe because that's all happening in Africa. If it stirred fear in you, if you, you know, took the bait, so to speak, from the ego for even just a split hair of a second, that fear is in your mind, and it's about taking that fear to the Holy Spirit and asking for it to be undone, letting it be undone.
And then also that sentence, the sentence to love yourself is to heal yourself. It sounds like the loving kindness meditation, if you're familiar with that at all.
Yeah, Meta.
Yeah.
Great one.
I'm sorry, what was that, Paul?
I think it's called the Meta meditation. I use it with some of my clients, yeah.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's about feeling love for yourself, extending love to others, even extending love, you know, to somebody that you might consider quote unquote an enemy or somebody that you, you know, don't get along with well. That's a really powerful meditation.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that sentence. And that's interesting, the rest of that sentence, and you cannot perceive part of you as sick and achieve your own goal. So if we're even seeing ourselves as sick, as something, as really all that is, if we see ourselves as sick in some form, it's just we're seeing ourselves as a body. We're just, again, mistaken in thinking that we are a body. And it goes back to what we started with, I think before we were recording, about what you were saying, Carol, of that thought, like, I am not a body, I am free, that lesson from the Course. It's so helpful. But again, we can't intellectualize our way into knowing that we're not a body. It again is this, you know, experience that we slowly, slowly, gently learn as we practice these principles, that we are something way greater, way more awesome than these piles of clay. I'll share real quick. I was watching, this is a while ago now, it was some sort of documentary on the Gospel of Judas, which the whole thing was never recovered because the one document that they found was not well kept, and so there's, you know, chunks of it missing. But in this documentary, you know, they had actors sort of portraying certain things as they were talking about the Gospel of Judas, and in one of these little, you know, vignettes, Jesus says to Judas, and I'm probably not going to say the quote totally accurately, but he says something to the effect of, the body is a cloth that covers me. It was something like that. And that's always stuck with me about, you know, the body is just a cloth that covers me. It's not really who we are.
Yeah, and if you've ever been with somebody as they passed, it's like you totally sense that.
Yeah.
Within that instant, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, you just reminded me of, maybe I've shared this before, I don't remember, I haven't thought about it in quite some time, but I actually, my 20-year-old kitty cat, this is several years ago now, I was able to hold her when the vet was putting her down because she could no longer even get up, and she left her body and just felt such overwhelming love that it was like afterwards I knew she wasn't there anymore. There was nothing to grieve because that body, you know, that was left behind wasn't her. It was just like, you know, taking off a coat and laying it down. So anybody else have anything to add? This could be a place for us to stop. I don't want to try to rush through these next four paragraphs just for the sake of getting to the end of the chapter. We can save it for next time. How about I'll read one more paragraph. If you perceive offense in your brother, pluck the offense from your mind, for you are offended by Christ and are deceived in him. Heal in Christ and be not offended by him, for there is no offense in him. If what you perceive offends you, you are offended in yourself and are condemning God's Son, whom God condemneth not. Let the Holy Spirit remove all offense of God's Son against himself, and perceive no one but through his guidance, for he would save you from all condemnation. Accept his healing power and use it for all he sends you, and he will, for he wills to heal the Son of God in whom he is not deceived. So there it is for me, that idea again of you spot it, you got it. If what you perceive offends you, it's in your own mind. And this sentence where it says, let the Holy Spirit remove all offense of God's Son against himself and perceive no one but through his guidance, for he would save you from all condemnation. There it is, the crux of the course about, you know, letting the Holy Spirit be our guide to remember the truth of who we are, to undo the blocks that we put up between love and our awareness of love's presence. Anything come up for anybody else in this paragraph or anywhere else? Any final thoughts? All right. Well, thank you all so much for sharing. It was really awesome and super helpful. So have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.